Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Quality sleep optimizes recovery, helping professional and everyday athletes perform their best. Only the Sleep Number Smart Bed is proven to improve the quality of sleep and provides valuable insights that can be used to support overall wellness. Talent on a college team allows the best players to outperform their opponents, but in the NFL, everyone is talented. Players entering the draft need every competitive edge they can get, starting with quality sleep. Training will only get more intense as players transition to the pros, so to optimize recovery, they can rely on Sleep Number for consistent, high-quality sleep. Experience game-changing sleep with a Sleep Number smart bed only at a Sleep Number store.
Today's episode of Zero Block 30 is brought to you by our beloved friends at Starbucks. Starbucks is actually sending us on a trip to Woo-hoo! Seattle, where we're going to go in there starting tomorrow. I'm super excited. We're going to be doing all kinds of stuff. Starbucks and our partnership is a little bit different than most that you'll hear, like on Barstool podcast or podcast really anywhere, because usually we're asking you to buy something, participate in something. We're not asking you to do any of that. We're just asking you to go to starbucks.com/veterans and check out all that they're doing for veterans, like the fact that they've hired 17,000 veterans and military spouses since 2013, and they're increasing their commitment to 25,000 by 2025. They have partnered with Team Red, White, and Blue, Team Rubicon, The Mission Continues, and us. Like, they're doing all kinds of stuff. Starbucks has 45 military stores and military communities across America, with 132 by 2022. Military family stores are a place where the veteran community can work, unwind, and connect. These stores and others host Military Mondays, where local veteran service organizations provide transition guidance and information for military spouses. Military spouses are our unsung heroes of armed forces, and I'm really excited that when the whole squad comes down, well, the whole squad minus Connor. Sorry, Cons.
It's okay.
He's got other shit going on. But when the whole squad comes down to San Antonio, Kate is going to interview my wife. My wife is going to be on an episode talking about military spouses, which should be very fun. I'm actually kind of nervous about what my wife will say, because no one, including like my drill instructors from the past, no one gives me shit like my wife. So you'll
make wait.
Yes.
Yeah.
I already got my questions lined up.
You know, because not enough people give you shit. Everyone just bows at your feet, I feel like, all the time. And rightfully so.
Not true.
Rightfully so. You do a good job at what you do, but I think it'll be good to hear some more honesty about you.
Yeah, I want to hear you
so
get ripped.
For example, today I wrote a blog. We're recording on, what day is it? Tuesday?
Today is
Tuesday.
So
we're recording Tuesday afternoon. I wrote this blog that I thought was pretty funny about me having herpes, so I sent it to my wife, and my wife's only response back was, okay. And that was it.
She gives less than
zero. And I was like,
geez,
I'll stop sharing my stuff, and she was like, finally. So she doesn't care about anything that I do, but you're going to care about this episode. Let's cue the damn music.
It is so gross out. It's so gross.
Terrible.
Out. But on my walk to the subway today, I got my rain boots on. I got my umbrella. I feel invisible when I wear rain boots. It makes me feel like, oh, look at all these losers in their flats and their loafers getting all the puddles.
Okay, you should bring back the all-weather coat.
I'm thinking about it.
Ooh,
I was thinking.
Could be a move.
I know Cons wears his in the winter sometimes.
Oh,
at
yeah.
The Army-Navy game, it looks fabulous. But so we're leaving on this Starbucks trip tomorrow. I'm all excited about it. I'm all packed, ready to go. I'm walking
Are you
to the
really?
Subway. No.
I knew it. I was like, Kate is prepared? My God.
I am really excited. I'm just not packed, because that's not how I roll. I work best under pressure last minute.
Would you like to apologize to the listeners for lying?
No.
Okay.
I refuse.
That's fair. Okay.
I did not have packing relations with my suitcase, okay? But anyways, I walk into the subway. It's pouring rain. I look over and I say, who is this wonderful specimen standing outside? There's a Starbucks directly underneath my subway stop. And there is a Marine captain wearing his, I can't believe I don't remember this, but the dress blues with the khaki. Chaps, you're the one.
Dress blue deltas.
Dress blue deltas. He looked fabulous. He had a nice stack on him. He was standing and he was opening the door for people who were going into the Starbucks.
Really?
Yes. I think he was waiting to meet somebody as a recruiter. But in the meantime, while he was standing there,
he was just being a gentleman.
Wow. And opening the door for everybody.
Shouldn't expect any less from an officer.
Exactly.
An officer and a gentleman.
You would have been doing the same,
right.
Cons, I'm sure.
Most
but
likely.
I'm like, I have.
Surprised he was doing anything.
Yeah. I have a Starbucks gift card. So I was like, let me run in and get this handsome devil dog a cake pop. Let me give them
a nice treat.
Thank you for your service, Cake Pop.
Because Cake Pops aren't something I feel like people get for themselves often.
It's a treat.
But it is a nice treat.
Yeah. And so I was going to get him a TYFYS CP. Thank you for your service, Cake Pop. And I went in there.
We should make that a thing, legit. if you see a troop, give them a Cake Pop. Because everybody gets happy when you
get
a Cake Pop.
Seriously.
Who would turn down a Cake Pop? Nobody.
Yeah, that's such a good idea. You see a bunch of troops, just go. But what happens if they leave? I guess then you just have like 20 Cake Pops.
Well, that's what happened to me today. I got two Cake Pops, one for me, one for him. I'm like, we'll stand in the rain. We'll share a Cake Pop. I'll say, hey, I'm a Marine too, buddy, and we'll have a moment. And instead, I walked out, and he was gone. So then I had two Cake Pops on the subway on the way in.
It wasn't meant to be, though, for you two.
You know what I like to do when I see captains, like Marine captains specifically?
What?
In the wild, call them Skipper, because it throws it for a loop. Like, if you're going, like, here you go, Skipper, they always like, they're like, okay.
They get it. They get it.
Yeah.
I was going to give him a little Skipper. Here you go, Skipper, and just hand him a little Cake Pop, little pink Cake Pop with ears on it. But yeah, I didn't get the chance. So if you're out there, if you're listening, you saw the girl making creepy eye contact with you in the rain today in Queens. That was me.
I would like that, though, if people started handing out Cake Pops to the troops and sent us pictures of them. Not for any sort of admiration or credit, but just so we can see that it's happening.
Oh, yeah. I would love that, especially if it's coming my way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who wouldn't love it? I just better not see any of those Marines. I don't know what you guys in the Army do, but I better not see any Marines fucking walking and talking and chewing like they're back on their damn block.
Their hands better be out of their pockets, yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to stand walking, still and eat your Cake Pop, okay?
How long did it take you, Kate, to get out, or Cons, too, like whenever you got out to walk and talk on your cell phone?
We've talked about this. I think I was, well, maybe it took a while, because even now I don't like to walk and talk, especially in public on my cell phone, because even if I'm passing strangers that I obviously don't know and never will see again, I feel awkward that they can hear part of my conversation. Not that I'm saying anything that's top secret. I just don't like to be that public with my conversations. So it probably took me a while.
I still in my head when I see somebody walking and talking, I'm like, you're fucking nasty, man. Like, just the level of what you think of this, I'm just like, you're disgusting. Why don't you fucking just stop for a minute? You look disgusting while you're walking. And thinking about that now that I'm 5-6 years removed, it's such an insane concept.
Yeah.
Like, that you can't walk and talk on your phone or chew gum while you're walking or chew gum while you're talking to somebody important. Like, all those different things. If somebody used to chew gum and speak to me whenever a junior level used to send me off the wall.
Understandably so. Yeah. I mean, you flipped out on me when I was chewing gum one time. I was chewing gum a little too loud, and you just lost your shit on me.
Well, I think there's
was it directly into the mic?
Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's in the mic. It's an audio-only program. Although, I do admit, last week I broke my own rules and ate a sandwich while we were recording, but I was a very busy boy.
It's true. I will say, there's a couple rules that I'm like, huh? I think, like, only women, at least in the Marines, I don't know if they've changed it, are allowed to carry umbrellas or something like that with certain uniforms. And it's like, that's so dumb. What's the point? Like,
oh, yeah. Right. One of my favorite.
You guys are allowed umbrellas?
Yeah.
We don't have umbrellas in the Army.
No. You are not allowed umbrella. So, absolutely not.
Oh, maybe
you're
I just,
allowed,
maybe
a
I
carrier,
just did.
A carrier is allowed to have an umbrella. So, for example, if you are a general level officer or above and you're in a dress uniform, you can have a carrier that brings one for you. You're not supposed to have one for yourself at all.
No.
I remember going down with my first sergeant, First Sergeant Lugo Diaz, actually, full Christian name on this show. So we were riding together. I was the company gunny. He was the first sergeant. We were in my car and it was raining on Quantico. And Quantico is right by like TBS. OCS is there as well. But we are at the main part of the base where people should have known better about these rules. Mm-hmm. Well, he sees a corporal walking across the street in his Charlie's, like his service uniform, with an umbrella while it's pouring. First Sergeant's also in his Charlie's, so am I. He's like, pull the fucking car over, guns. So I pull over. He hops out. He's like, hey, devil dog, what the fuck are you doing? Goes and he's like screaming, running after this corporal while he's still in dress. And we got places to go.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's torrential downpour. Like, it's really coming down.
Standard
and
comes
he
first.
Goes up, yeah. And he is screaming at this kid over and over for like 10 minutes. And I'm just waiting in the car like, you listening to the music? Because I'm so used to First Sergeant chewing everybody's ass that he sees. Biggest hardo ever. I love him, but dude's a hardo, and he admit it too. So he gets back into the car completely soaked from head to toe. He's like, Guns, you got to take me home. I got to change. So,
that's the rules, though, that I don't get. Like, it's so antiquated. Like, why is that? Like, I guess it's supposed to be tougher. Like, we don't need umbrellas for Marines. But it's like, well, now you're fucked.
Who knows? I think it's one of those things, too, where it's just that's the rule and no one bothers to change
them.
Because why would we ever think and use our brains in the military sometimes?
You know, umbrella, you should have wore your fucking all-weather coat, devil dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. All right, speaking of eight up first sergeants, we're going to do a little thing over the next couple of weeks where we go over different phases of your military life, because a lot of our listeners are civilians, so a lot of those jokes that we just told might not make sense to you at all.
True.
But we're going to try to break down boot camp, because we get a lot of those DMs, like whether it's through the Zero Block 30 or in our own personal message box, like, hey, I'm going to basic training, I'm going to boot camp, what can I expect? We want to help you out. So we're going to go through some questions. Kate has some, Cons has some, and I have some that we're going to share. Let's start.
All right. I will go first because this one's just lovely and really thoughtful.
Okay.
Valid question.
All right.
It says, I'm going to be spending the holidays in boot camp. Should I bring my DI a gift?
Absolutely.
Thoughtful?
Yeah.
Thoughtful?
Yeah. Very thoughtful.
It's only upside. The DI gets a gift. He shows you favor because you gave him a gift.
Right.
What could go wrong?
And have it wrapped, like, in a really silly way. DIs love, like, goofing around.
Yeah.
I would put a tiny gift inside many boxes and have each one wrapped.
And even though you don't know your DI, maybe try to make it personal.
But my biggest point of caution, yeah. I mean, obviously, Kate's joking. Like, don't do it in a silly gift. Like, you bring it tastefully done, like how you normally would, like, in the military, in plain brown bag with just a green stripe around it. That's all you need. Something peaceful, a nice green bow, something
small
like that.
Bow.
Have some, military discipline still. But the problem that I have with this kid's question is not the fact that he wants to know if he should bring his DI. It's only one DI. And remember, a lot of times that there'll be four. And you don't want to just bring something for your senior drill instructor. You want to bring some for the junior drill instructors, too.
Right.
You don't want them. It's their holiday, too.
It is. So. And it would be rude to just exclude. So, have multiple things. And also have people mail gifts for the DIs, too. Tell your family and friends, like, hey, send stuff to them. Mm-hmm. Help me out here. So, absolutely. I think that's a smart move.
And they love it when you get, like, Christmas cookies in the mail that everybody in the platoon can share.
Yes.
Before you know it, you're the star of the platoon.
It's
you're the
true.
Star of boot camp, and everybody loves you, and you're getting your military career off on the right foot.
Yeah.
Nothing could possibly go wrong if you do this.
So Kate, what question did you have?
All right. The title of this question is Fucked Up. Posting on a throwaway account. I'm in the DEP program a month from shipping. I did something so hard R, like extremely hard R. I got a tattoo. It's in regs completely. It's very small and pretty close to my dick. And it's so small the doctor won't notice it. Should I tell my recruiter and just get this ass chewing or just not disclose it? My underwear has to be completely off to even be able to scope it out, by the way. I think you're totally fine. No one's going to notice a new tattoo by your junk.
No.
I disagree. I think he should walk right into his recruiter's office and immediately show him his dick.
Please walk into your recruiter's office, drop your pants, and show him your brand new ink.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, you should, because I tried to go to boot camp with a belly button ring. I had no idea what I was getting into, and I had the ring.
Uh-huh.
Like, I never had the dangly.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that, like, that's how naive I was. I didn't know that I could not go to Paris Island with, like, I didn't know that I was not allowed to have a belly button ring.
Right.
They how did it come out?
So
was it, like, initial hygiene inspection?
They cut it off with pliers.
Wow.
Swear to God. Laid me down. So
walk us through it, how it went down.
So this is right before I got in the van to go to the airport from MEPS, like, to leave.
Okay.
So I've been dropped off there, and they're like, is there anything else? I think they made me do, like, a final inspection to see if there was any new tattoos, any new developments. And they were like, what the fuck is that? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's my belly button ring.
Yeah, what of it?
And they're like, oh, no, take it out.
Apparently, I forgot to take out my belly button ring.
Apparently.
So I couldn't get it out. And they were like, well, time's, like, we have to fucking go. So they just found a pair of pliers, and they made me lay down. They picked up my shirt, and they just chopped that sucker off. And that's that. So,
wow.
So they were like, you are in for a rib. And I missed my connecting flight because I was eating ribs at the airport. So
Jesus.
By the time I got to Paris Island. I was like all alone and I got taken in a van. Like I had totally missed my bus. Like, yeah. And so they sat me in.
So
this...
you didn't do like yellow footprints with everybody else?
I did it. I was the only woman then, because normally they try and bring all the ladies in together, and they put me in right. the back of the footprints, and they had a little group of dudes up front. And
so you were in like the broke body section
yes.
of your
yes.
forces.
I had a totally different experience than most. I had to sit in the airport waiting for dudes to get there, like alone. And there was drill instructors. There's a special room in that airport for fuck ups like me, where there was already DIs in there, like treating me like garbage. And I was just like, oh no, I messed up.
Were the ribs worth it?
They were delicious. Yeah. I was like, it's my last meal. I was like having a good time. And I guess I totally missed like the boarding time thing. I don't know what I did, but yeah. So
imagine that. Kate's late.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah. So
so you're just sitting at like Tony Romo's at the bar.
Yep.
Airport eating fucking ribs. Unreal, man.
One other thing for this gentleman with the tattoo. Maybe take a picture of it. Make copies and then hand it out to the other drill instructors when you get there.
Make
so
sure
everybody knows
absolutely.
What they're working with.
Yes. I couldn't agree,
I agree
more.
Yeah.
All right. My question is, can I bring my PS4 to boot camp? When I went to boot camp, you could bring your PS2. I can't imagine that too many things have changed.
Yes,
like, because you do have some downtime that, and it'll be nice. Like you could put that in your Foot Locker with everybody else's stuff. Because occasionally, like on holidays, Christmas, for example, they'll pull out the TV, and if you could hook that up and play some Fortnite with a drill instructor, I think that would be nice.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you're the guy who not only has cookies sent to you for everybody, but you are the guy who brings your PS4 to get your Fortnite
and
on?
Everybody already knows you're tough because you have a dick tattoo.
Yeah, right. Seriously.
One of the best things about boot camp to me was they had a box. You could bring your own gaming systems, but they had a little box up front where everybody from the previous classes left games behind
for
the recruits.
Thoughtful.
And on Sundays when we had a little bit of free time, you could go and pick out games to play, and it was just really fun. So it was like a good teamwork thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, having free Sundays at Marine Corps boot camp is a huge benefit.
Yeah. It was almost too
really
much.
Time to unwind. On a serious note, I have been seeing people like that tag us in ZBT of other branches of service who allow their people at boot camp to have cell phones like on the weekends legitimately.
That's crazy.
I think Army can, right? I think so.
Yeah.
I remember being on Fort Leonard Wood for training and like going through that boot camp area and seeing them on their cell phones on the weekends, like in little groups and stuff sometimes. By the way, my parents were just doing a cross-country trip to see my brother who just had a baby. Whoop, whoop. Aunt Kate times three. But they stopped and stayed in Rolla outside Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri along the way because my brother lives in Arkansas now. And they went to my little – because I was military – they went to the Military Police Museum and sent me all these pictures and everything. And
that's
I was
nice.
Like, why would you – like, that has to be the most boring thing. But it was really nice that they stopped and sent pictures and everything. But
this is a glow belt. When somebody doesn't wear a glow belt, we give them a ticket.
Yeah. So very exciting times, but I was jazzed.
But speaking of glow belts, they've been weaponized lately.
They have. It's pretty nutty, actually. I was excited to see it. Can I read this real quick?
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
For nearly 20 years, the reflective glow belt has been saving lives of service members out for a morning run or en route to a green beans coffee hut. Very true. The reflective belt has been the scorn and ridicule of U.S. troops deployed across the globe since the kickoff of the War on Terror. But now Marines have found an actual tactical use for the iconic safety belt. Deployed to Australia as part of a rotational force, a group of Marines at the Mount Bundy training range decided to slap a glow belt on a small quadcopter drone to aid in battlefield situational awareness between machine gunners and maneuvering grunts. Apparently, the harsh terrain and thick vegetation of the wilderness made it difficult for machine gunners to gauge the location and trace lead trace of maneuvering grunts. So, they put glow belts on these drones, flew them out. I think that's brilliant. I think that's quick thinking in the field.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really smart.
And that's
that is smart.
Great way to lose your glow belt and have a legitimate reason as to why you don't have to wear it.
Finally.
When you said weaponized, I thought you were talking about like Marine Corps martial arts. Like you're
like wrapping
how to
around
choke.
Someone's neck.
Like,
even better.
Is that really that creative, using a belt to choke somebody? Like, I feel like that's pretty standard operating procedure with a belt if you're going to need it as a weapon.
No, that would be cool too, though. Find a way to weaponize it. But can I tell you one more science thing that I saw that I thought was super cool?
Go for it, nerd.
Would love it.
Nerd alert. So there's this new gadget by Sonitas Technologies that's been awarded millions of dollars of funding from the U.S. military for the molar mic.
Okay.
Any guess what that is?
My guess is some sort of microphone found in a molar.
It goes on your molar, which is a tooth for those who are big dummy dum-dum faces.
Those of you who don't have teeth.
For those of you who don't have teeth. But yeah, it's a tiny little, the voice interface sustains communications in dangerous and challenging environments. The molar mic is the first, the blah, blah, blah. Anyways, yeah.
So it just goes in your mouth, and that's it.
It's this little thing that goes in your tooth, and they can hear
that's
you for
that. That's wild.
And also,
so are you supposed to just be able to whisper, like, really softly? Is that what it does?
Yeah, so incoming sounds are converted into vibrations that the cochlea in the ear can convert back into sounds. It's I don't know what that means, but sometimes it's used in hearing aids, too. But I think it doesn't, so you can talk very quietly. It takes the vibrations, and it, like, sends them back out
that's
to whatever.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
If it's transferred to your eardrum, what I would think that that means is that you can hear somebody else, but they can't hear you.
Oh, here's what it means. It means voices can be heard when they would otherwise be drowned out by aircraft noise or conditions, loud conditions.
Ah.
So that's what it is.
It really isolates in on the sound so that you're not hearing the propellers or bombs or anything like that going off.
Yeah.
That is an issue. I mean, you hear that constantly whenever you're going through and you're trying to speak to somebody who's on a helicopter. You can't hear what they're saying.
Yeah. Right. So it just takes the vibrations and translates that to but yeah, that's pretty cool, I think.
And presumably to be used by our special operations community across the military.
Except if you forget that it's in there and you start talking shit.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm. That could be bad.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's still pretty cool, though.
Yeah,
that's
unbelievable. Cool.
That's one of those things that you think you see in a movie a lot, but in actuality it's not actually true.
Right.
But then now we see that it is true, so it is pretty cool.
And then how will it be utilized in civilian life? Because every technology, it seems, that comes out
makes
in the military
way, yeah.
makes its way. So soon we'll all have little molar cell phone implants. And
I bet. Yeah.
So
like if you're riding on the subway or something like that, or you're in a crowded place or at a concert or something like that, let me put my molar thing in.
Wouldn't be me. I don't like talking on the phone in public, as I said.
Well, nobody would know now. You just look like you were talking to yourself like a crazy person.
Like a crazy person. That's even better. I'd fit right in New York City.
Excellent.
Perfect.
Yep. All right. Well, that's the episode for this week. Come back on Friday.
Oh, baloney, mister.
What happened?
Whoa.
Well, number one, we forgot a very important birthday.
My
oh, shit.
God.
Yikes.
Very important birthday today.
I'm glad you guys are here today.
Yes.
Wow.
Today is the 71st birthday of our United States Air Force.
Woohoo! Oh.
People just assume the Air Force is just as old as the Army, the Marines, and Navy. Not quite. It used to be.
Relatively babies. Yes. Young little babies.
Which is probably why we treat them like that.
And they're trying to grow 70 squadrons, too. Big news.
Yeah, I did see that.
Trying to become huge.
And they're the ones responsible for the upcoming Space Force. The next 71 years of the Air Force, who knows what it brings for them. But
unfortunately, with every good news and good birthday wish, there is some bad news coming out of the Air Force currently. And I'm curious to see what you two will say about this. And this is a legitimate story that was in the Air Force Times last week. Two seniors at the Air Force Academy could be court-martialed for their role in a hazing scandal involving the men's swim team. They basically got them for wrongfully and willfully failing to refrain from engaging in activities that constitute hazing, and then also for impeding an investigation, which is also not very good. But basically, they took them to Olive Garden. They took the freshmen to Olive Garden, the famous Italian restaurant. Maybe you've heard of it.
I think I've heard of it.
It's delicious. They had them eat as much pasta as they could possibly eat during a dinner. Then they were blindfolded, driven to the woods, where they were made to drink large quantities of milk, eat foods such as Jell-O with mustard, and run until they vomited. Then they also reported that the seniors began to strip and blindfold the freshmen again before the seniors put their clothes back on and told the freshmen it was a joke. They said there were no alleged sexual acts that took place. So, what are your thoughts on each part of what I just said?
Let's break it down. Let's go one by one, because I think some of them are okay and some of them are obviously egregious.
Yes. So, I'll start by saying I don't like the word hazing when it comes to athletic teams, because I'm here to tell you, and I actually talked to one of my very close friends. He was a swimmer at Villanova, and I told him about this story and asked him if they did anything similar, and he said yes, which wasn't surprising to me. And I think a lot of athletic teams do things like this with their freshmen, and it's more of an initiation and a way to build camaraderie, as ridiculous as that might sound. It's never meant to embarrass, it's never meant to injure, and it's certainly never meant to sexually violate anyone. I don't condone any of that. I don't like the word hazing because I think hazing, to me, has a very negative connotation that you're trying to negatively impact these people when that's not the case.
See, I think you say it's never meant to,
okay.
blah, blah, blah.
All right.
But oftentimes it does because okay. you get that one or two that does not understand that yeah. it's supposed to be something like fun and goofy to build camaraderie, and it gets taken too far. And then with the group mentality, when it does go too far, people are afraid to come forward and
right,
say that was too
the
much.
One. Yeah.
They're afraid to be the one, and that's the kind of stuff that scars people for the rest of their lives.
I would
think
agree.
There's other and ways.
Go ahead, Kate.
I just feel like there's other ways to build camaraderie, to build team. And I know people are like, oh, come on, blah, blah, blah. No, there's way different ways that you can do something like wacky and crazy and fun that has nothing to do with like making people force drink or force eat or force strip or blah, blah, blah. Like I'm thinking back to my rugby days and some of the shit we did. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, my God, I wish I had had the fortitude or whatever to stand up and be like, ah, actually, I'm not going to do this. If you want me on the team, I'll stay. But like, I'm not going to do this. So
yeah, the force eating the pasta, because I don't picture them holding them down and shoving it down
yeah.
their throats. It just said like eat as much as you can, and then drinking the milk and the Jello with mustard. I don't really think that's. I think that's kind of tame. The part where they take their clothes off, that is definitely, I think, a step too far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
a violation.
Like, stop
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I think it's like, why do you like, what, we're eating Jello, dude. Why do we have to get fucking naked?
Right. yeah. Like, well, okay.
I don't understand why everything always involves getting naked. Like, why do you want to see me naked all the time, dude? Like, can we do something else? Which I think is the biggest mistake that we've made, like, switching it over to, like, actual military stuff. The fact that commanders went to the spot because of paperwork that was dictated whenever hazing happened, where commanders went where they were going to leave, and so they didn't have to have eyes on what was happening for like NCO pinning or getting your blood stripes. I think if the commander is there, even if you have like a colonel or a captain there, nobody's going to go that far. I think that there's elements about toughness and shit like that that are lost when you don't have some of those traditions, but you have a bad command climate who can't understand how to dictate to senior level NCOs of what's too far and what's not too far. And that's when things get out of hand. I think you have to have reasonable leadership that says, okay, you're beating the fucking shit out of the guy. Like
right.
when you can't walk for days after, like if you're just getting hit and doing it a little bit, I think that that's fine. But when you get to the point where you're actually trying to injure somebody, that's where the command needs to step in and be like, all right, that's a little much. Like
yeah, and even though you got these guys that are seniors, they're still presumably, you know, 21, 22-year-old kids.
They're
still kids. They still don't
But they're going to be
that.
I mean, at the Air Force Academy, they're not going
right,
to be kids.
Right.
They're
going
to
so
be
they need to be held to that standard. They
and
definitely
the guy
need to be held
who's
to that standard.
Telling these younger ones to strip naked in the woods with Jello is going to be leading
right.
airmen
right.
soon. And that's like,
yeah, that's,
yeah.
So that's not good.
I think
yeah.
I agree with Cons. I don't give a fuck about making them eat as much pasta as they want to. Or
I think that's silly. Yeah.
Jello
that sounds
or,
like a dream, honestly.
Really?
Cardboard.
You're going to pay for me to eat a ton of food? This is great.
You're drinking milk. You're doing the gallon challenge. Who gives a fuck? As long as they don't have like a dairy
right,
allergy,
so
like
that's,
who gives a shit?
That's another thing. It's not as though they were forcing them to drink alcohol. That would be a different story. They were forcing them to drink milk and say or saying drink milk. And the other thing, you know, I was talking to my, as I mentioned, my one buddy who did this at Villanova. He always said, and I think this is probably prevalent at most schools where this type of thing happens, if ever someone came forward and said like, hey, listen, like I'm not really comfortable doing this, everyone always, okay, that's fine, just don't do it, not a big deal. I mean, if you go, if someone comes to you and says, hey, I'm not comfortable doing this, and you tell them to shut up and just do it, yeah, again, that's wrong,
right?
But again, I think that goes back to what I was saying. I don't think there's ever malicious intent, but to your point, Kate,
it escalates
sometimes
quickly.
It does
group
escalate.
Mentality
yes.
can be a freaky thing.
Yes, and although the intent might not be there, it might still happen that way.
But do you think that that's tough for the Air Force? Can we end it on a high note for them? I thought that it was kind of special that the head of the Air Force came out with a really, really beautiful birthday message.
It really
for
was.
His
it's
troops.
Really it's super charming because I, to give a little background on this, the Air Force is obviously not as old. They're 75 years old.
Is it 75 or 71?
71, something like that.
Yeah. They're in their 70s now.
That's great of us to really do our homework.
Yeah.
Who really cares?
When Lejeune, the 13th Commandant of the Marine Corps, wrote the birthday message, I don't think, you know what and this is going to sound like a crazy comparison, but when the Apostle Paul wrote his letters to the Corinthians,
yes,
I don't think that he thought it was going to be canon. I think that he was just writing to the people of Corinth, to the people of like the Ephesians. I think that he was just writing to those people. He didn't know it was going to become like the Bible. I think it was just letters. I think that's the way it was with Lejeune. He was writing to the Marines at that time, not knowing that it was going to forever be the birthday message. And this legitimately might become the birthday message
for
of
the Air Force. I thought it was
beautifully
done.
Con, you want to read it?
Yeah, I'd be happy
As an officer, I only think it's appropriate for Connor to read it.
And this is from General David L. Goldfein. He's the Chief of Staff of the U.S. Air Force, and he's responsible for the organization, training, equipping of the entire thing. So I just really thought this was lovely.
Yeah. To my fellow airmen, I love that you get cold when it's 71 degrees out. I love that it takes you an hour and a half to order a sandwich. I love that you get a little crinkle above your nose when you're looking at me like I'm nuts. I love that after I spend the day with you, I can still smell your perfume on my clothes. And I love that you are the last person I want to talk to before I go to sleep at night. And it's not because I'm lonely. And it's not because it's New Year's Eve. I came here tonight because when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible.
Wow.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
That's a general that loves his airmen.
Yes.
I mean, that's why you get to those high-level staff positions, because you know what to say. You know how to motivate your troops. And I think that's going to do that for generations to come.
He
Unbelievable. We hope we motivated you a little bit this week. We'll be back again on Friday with another episode, Sound the Retreat.